Rams are back where they belong, where it all began in 1946. The last 20 years have been a bad dream. Now it's time for the Ramble On Podcast. Here are your hosts, Steve Mason and Ryan Abraham.
Welcome to another edition of the Ramble On Podcast. I'm your co-host, Ryan Abraham with USCFootball.com, with Steve Mason from ESPN Radio here in Los Angeles. We are the Ramble On Podcast, talking about the Los Angeles Rams. We got a very special guest, a former Ram, Super Bowl champ, national champion in college, 1991 with Washington, of course, 1999 with then the St. Louis Rams, now the Los Angeles Rams, also does color commentary for those St. Louis Rams, and we're hearing maybe for the Los Angeles Rams. DeMarco Farr is joining the show. What's up, DeMarco? How you doing?
What's up, man? You forgot one thing. Failed lead-in for the Mason and Ireland show way back when. You forgot that.
That's right. That's right. You know, we go back a while here, Ryan. In fact, a few years when we were over on La Cienega, DeMarco Farr and Gary Miller were the lead-in to the Mason and Ireland show. And, boy, you gave us a hell of a lead-in, DeMarco. You guys,
I apologize for everything. We tried our
you
best.
Guys delivered in that. And, you know, you teed us up to throw some big numbers on the ratings board, and we still thank you to this day.
I bet. We didn't ruin you. Sorry about that, man. Good stuff. Yeah.
No, so Steve, you're saying he made you look better? Is that what it was?
Oh yeah, no. We just built off. He was like the springboard. We springboarded the ratings after DeMarco.
Yeah, right. He's being very generous and nice.
So DeMarco, how long have you been doing the Rams games?
Oh God, 7 years, 7 seasons now. Let's see. I took over for Jim Hannifin, who took over for Jack Snow, who actually came with the team from L.A. to St. Louis. So it's always something I saw myself doing at one point, and, you know, the good Lord opened up an opportunity, and there I was, and haven't looked back since. It's been a whole lot of fun, a lot of losing, but a whole lot of fun. This team fights hard, man. They really do. I mean, under Jeff Fisher, they fight hard. It's just a shame that they're still looking for that one quarterback to put them over the edge, put them over the hump, so to speak.
DeMarco, do you think it's the key, the quarterback? How much better do you think this team could be with an established quarterback for when they move to L.A.?
Oh, my gosh. When you talk about just defensive football, the Rams are right there with anybody in the National Football League. I'm talking about the Denver Broncos as far as pass rushing goes, and you see what they can do. They can win a Super Bowl. When you talk about the Seattle Seahawks, well, the Rams went toe-to-toe with Seattle for the past 4 years and beat them a number of times. So that defense is playoff ready. They are ready for a championship run. The running game now with Todd Gurley, that young phenom, once he's in the backfield, I mean, really, really took off. And Tavon Austin is the ultimate weapon out there. But the one thing that's lacking, when you say the one thing the Rams did not have when you face San Diego, when you face New Orleans, when you face the Denver Broncos of the world, when you face the Seattle Seahawks and the Arizona Cardinals, is that quarterback on the other side is better than what the Rams are putting out there right now. So a lot of those games came down to the wire, and just a few mistakes caused them to lose and miss playoff spots. And you can always trace that back to the quarterback spot.
Offensive coordinator last year was Frank Cignetti. He got fired, and now Michael Groh is the passing game coordinator. Rob Boris is the Rams offensive coordinator. There's some bubbling out there that the Rams are potentially interested in RG3. Does that mobile kind of quarterback make sense given what Groh and Boris, their approach to the offense?
Well, absolutely. Well, just Jeff Fisher, you got to throw him in there, and you think about his most successful teams in Tennessee. I mean, it was Steve McNair who ran around all over the place, was a mobile quarterback, more of a pocket guy, but can pull it down and run. He was a nightmare to try to defend. So best teams in Tennessee. And then you move to the Vince Young era, where Vince Young won 10 games, went to the postseason, went to the Pro Bowl before he kind of flamed out. So mobile quarterbacks are in Jeff Fisher's MO. So RG3, if he's available and healthy and wants to play and will accept the change in scenery and the leadership of the football team, I think he'd be tremendous with the guys I just mentioned. Tavon Austin is a great weapon. He's an end-around threat. And Todd Gurley, you know, enough for the Southern California tailback. I think that would be tremendous. As long as you add that third option to the run game, like Carolina, where the quarterback is a viable run option, it just keeps defenses on their toes. And they run out of answers before you run out of play. You still there?
Oh, yeah.
We lost for a minute there. Not sure what happened.
Oh, sir.
Might have been RG3's agent.
Where did that leave off? Yeah.
No, I think it was. I mean, I think you finished your point. It just then it got a little staticky there. But
hey, so it sounds like DeMarco that you're very high on this idea of RG3. What if he's not the guy? I mean, obviously Case Keenum, Nick Foles, Sean Mannion on the roster. Is Mannion a guy that they look at as a long term guy? Do they go to the draft? Give us, you know, sort of expand your thoughts on the quarterback position beyond the idea of RG3.
Well, Sean Mannion is a guy that went through a redshirt here, and you can see the upside. He's tall. He's got a great arm. He picks up the offense, you know, really, really quickly. But, you know, he's a young guy. They want to bring along slowly. So you can see him being a guy for the future. But as far as right now, Case Keenum did a great job down the stretch last season. A little more mobility in the pocket was needed. Now, Nick Foles, going back to Sam Bradford, that's always been a struggle for the Rams. Whenever pressure collapsed the pocket, got to the quarterback, got around the quarterback, it was going to be a busted play or a sack. Well, Case Keenum provided just a little bit of mobility to keep plays alive, and that kept the offense going. If you can keep the offense on the field, Jeff Fisher will keep pounding the football. And the more you're out there, the longer you play, eventually an offense is going to wear out a defense, especially with a good running game. So I think that was what was missing with Sam Bradford and with Nick Foles, just not enough mobility. So when you go to a Case Keenum, when you go to an RG3, who is all about mobility, I don't think it's going to be just running the option. I just think guys that can create on the jazz session to keep plays alive is what this offense was really lacking last year. And if you want to take it a step further, I think the other thing that was missing was that top flight number one wide receiver outside the numbers that can just threaten the defense at any moment. So I think that was missing a little bit. Avon Austin is a good weapon to score whenever he touches the football, but at some point you need those A.J. Greens, those Dez Bryant, those Julio Jones to take the top off the defense where one play could be a big play. So I think that's what was missing last year from the Rams, as well as a top-flight quarterback.
Hey, DeMarco, for Todd Gurley, I mean, just so many accolades, everyone just so many good things to say about him. What do you like most about his game, and then what do you think his upside is, and is there something you think he needs to work on at this next level?
Well, the first thing you notice when you see him is he's bigger than hell. Oh, my God, this kid is huge. Big feet, he's tall, he's a monster. He's like a mini Steven Jackson. He's only going to get bigger, stronger, and faster, but he doesn't play like a bruiser. And he doesn't play like a big guy that's trying to be smaller. He's just very shifty. He's fast. He's got great vision, great anticipation. When he sees a hole, he hits it, and away you go. And once he gets into the second level, like I said, any safety or any corner that has that, you know, deep over the top and you're the last line of defense and you've got him lined up for a big hit, you might make the business decision to get out of the way. This guy can really bring it downhill, but he's very elusive in the open field. But the one thing I do like, he's got that Marshall Faulk-type vision. So where we can see as broadcasters, we can't really see the hole until he gets through it. And sometimes you can see just if he chokes it down just slightly, boom, he's going to get through there. And we'll say this early, like when they played Seattle, they ran him early and Seattle really gave it to him. This is up in Seattle, gave it to him on the first couple of carries. Well, we said in the broadcast, you keep running those same plays to where he gets enough information to where he knows where those hits are coming from. Pretty soon he's going to start to break those tackles and boom, he does 15, 25, 35 yards down the field, picking up a first down. So it's just his vision and his intelligence running the football that really strikes me the most.
Last week, I think last Monday, we had James Laurinaitis on Mason in Ireland. And, of course, he was cut almost immediately, which we thought.
Way to go, Mace.
Yeah, I thought we made something to do with it. But James Laurinaitis, the leading tackler in the history of the Rams franchise, cut this week along with Chris Long and Jared Cook. They cut a lot of money off the salary cap, but I guess they got to try to find a way to sign these young guys, cornerbacks and safeties that they're hoping to keep.
Absolutely, those corners were every bit as important as everyone else in the football field. Maybe more so. Tremaine Johnson and Janoris Jenkins and Rodney McLeod, safety. the secondary really started to come on, and those corners really did a good job taking receivers away. But James Laurinaitis, man, look, to me, he was the quarterback. He was the heart and soul. He was the bumper. He's not a banger. He's not a guy that's going to go in and knock your teeth out like Ray Malaluka used to do back in the day, like he's doing right now. But as far as getting the defense in and out of bad plays or lined up correctly or to keep everything calm and to be a leader on and off the field, you're not going to find anybody better. But, look, they have a guy in Alec Ogletree that they really like. Now, he was the weak side linebacker with James Laurinaitis. He has played middle in college, and he's really, really athletic. And the addition of Mark Barron moving down from safety to the weak side spot and really playing that position really well, I guess that kind of accelerated the thought process that Ogletree can be the middle now, Mark Barron can be the weak side now, and that means somebody's got to go. It's the business of the NFL, but it's not something you like. It's not something you agree with. It's just business, and you have to move on.
The defense of Marco, young, a lot of hitting, just very, you know, it seems like very talented defense, very aggressive defense. But there's a little bit of a reputation for maybe, you know, pushing the envelope a little bit. What have you seen from, you know, you're a defensive guy. What have you seen from this defense, and what do they do really well?
It's way overblown. I mean, way overblown. I mean, look, I see everything that's going on the field when I'm out there. Teams take liberties with the Rams, and the Rams will respond. But I've never seen a Jeff Fisher-led football team or heard him say, hey, look, let's go out and be dirty today. I mean, that's so far beyond him, it's ridiculous to even hear. But sometimes you just can't shake the reputation. People on TV like to call him out. People on the field or coaches like to call him out. But there's a lot of stuff after the whistle that goes on in the NFL. I mean, you can call out a lot of coaches. But, hey, look, it's just the way it is. But as far as hard-hitting goes, they're secondary. They bring it. They hit. The linebackers bring it. They hit. The defensive line, they bring it. They hit. They play for keeps. But as far as dirty, not this team.
You know, Laurinaitis, as you mentioned, was sort of a quarterback on defense. Do you see a guy, and Ogletree is really talented, and, of course, Aaron Donald is, you know, arguably the best defensive player or best couple of defensive players in the game. But is there a leader now on defense, or do they have to find that?
Well, there's leadership out there. I mean, you're missing a lot with Chris Long gone and James Laurinaitis gone. Those were the two guys that were really the glue guys and some of your best players. But look, it all falls to Jeff Fisher. It falls to Greg Williams, the defensive coordinator, to step up and become, you know, more of a leadership role than they had to because of the luxury you had with Long and James Laurinaitis. But hey, look, as long as you have talented players and you can get them lined up and going in the right direction, I think they'll be fine. Those leaders will emerge at some point, just like James Laurinaitis had to do, just like Chris Long had to do when he got here. When he was drafted number two overall way back when, he was a lost puppy starting out, and he found his voice and became a leader. Same with James Laurinaitis. He found his voice and became a leader. There's a void there now, so somebody there, maybe it will be Ogletree. Maybe it's going to be McLeod or one of these corners we just talked about, but somebody is going to step up and assume that leadership role. It's inevitable. It could be Aaron Donald. Now, when you talk to Aaron Donald, I guarantee you this, guys, it'll be the toughest interview of your life. It is the hardest thing to do to get him to talk about himself. He just doesn't do it. He's that humble. But I think now there's a void in leadership. Maybe he's going to have to be that guy.
Let's talk a little bit about the draft, which is upcoming. They got the 15th pick. This week is the combine. You know, it's possible that one of these two kind of top-shelf quarterbacks were to fall to him, either Carson Wentz or Jared Goff. Maybe the wide receiver from Ole Miss, you know, breakneck speed guy, Laquon Treadwell is there. What's your sense of what they do with that number 15 pick in the draft, DeMarco?
Well, you know, we talked about this right after the San Francisco game, right after that big debacle in San Fran where they lost. And there was a lot of talk about that pick and what they would do. And what we came away with after that day was, best player available. If they can't find what they want, then best player available. It could be a linebacker, could be a defensive end. That's something that a lot of teams go with when they can't figure out what to do. But I would say if you're Les Snead, the GM, if you're Jeff Fisher, and you see one of those top-flight, fast wide receivers that could really fit into your offense right now, I would say make that pick. I would say go that direction. I think that's the only thing that's been missing from this offense. Now that you have a Todd Gurley in the backfield, I think if Case Keenum keeps the job, you might want to go out and try to help him out with one of those type receivers. But you don't want to reach. If you have a need and try to reach for a need, you're always going to fail. So I would say the best thing to, you know, hang your hat on right now if you're a Rams fan is best player available.
DeMarco, is that the way this administrative, the front office has worked over the last, you know, you've covered this team for 7 years. What's been the trend, I guess, with this team as far as the draft goes? Have they been always going after best player available, or how's it been working?
Well, you know, they needed a left tackle. They went out and tried to get Jason Smith a while back. That didn't work out. I mean, they've reached on some guys, and some guys they've hit on, some guys they've flat missed on. Some guys have taken a while to really get into the swing of things and become, you know, a valuable member of this football team. I'll give you an example. Michael Brocker, the other defensive tackle on this football team, really a raw talent, a big guy they drafted out of LSU. When he was drafted here, I mean, people were ready to fight because there were other awesome players that they thought they should have gone after, but the Rams went with best available. Well, they thought Michael Brockers was that guy. Now, after 3.5 seasons, he finally turned into that force. So you can see Greg Robinson is another deal where they drafted him at number 2 overall, and the early results, what they weren't what people thought they would be or what they wanted, but eventually, as he starts to grow and get more reps, he's going to be just fine. So I would say the draft here has been hit or miss. There's been a lot of gnashing of teeth when those picks are made, but once you start playing on Sundays and you start seeing these guys pan out, then you start to see the method to the Met.
You know, Les Snead, we talked to on the show a couple of weeks ago. He's an interesting guy. He has focused a lot on this idea of communicating to millennials. And one of the byproducts, and I wish my boss would listen to this, shorter meetings. The team has has got shorter meetings. Describe kind of Les Snead, because he's kind of a new school GM, right?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, the first word that comes to mind is hip. You know, he's with it. He understands what's going on. I mean, he played at Auburn, you know, in the modern era. So he understands the modern athlete. So he's not a guy that's looking to change people. He may change culture. And I think the only thing he's after is, you know, a Lombardi trophy. So it's not about trying to make guys fit what he thinks a football player should be. He's just trying to make that football player the best they can be. And I think that's where a lot of coaches go wrong. They really try to stifle creativity. They try to stifle who these guys are, and they wind up turning on. I mean, kids are different today. The players are different. So I think he understands that. I know Jeff Fisher understands that. So they have a lot of young players. They always keep one of the youngest teams in the National Football League. So they know how to coach them, and they know how to keep these guys motivated. So eventually, if you keep chopping wood, they're going to get over the hump. And if this team ever gets into the postseason, boy, with that defense and that running game, boy, look out.
Hey, DeMarco, one of the least talked about aspects of football is a third of the game is special teams. And you know about the punter with the Rams. Like, what's the Rams special team philosophy been over the last few years, and where do you think it's going in the future?
Well, Johnny Hecker is one of the funniest guys in the world. If you haven't talked to him, wait till you do. He is an absolute nut. But when he puts the pads on and puts that helmet on, he becomes the ultimate weapon. He can pin you deep. He can flip field position. He can angle it. He's an all-around great punter. And Greg Zuerlein, the thing I can say about him and Jeff Fisher is you're never out of field goal range with him. With that leg and that head coach's attitude, I'll boot it from anywhere. And he's missed some long ones. He's either missed them left or right. But I'm telling you, from 57, from 60, he's got the distance by 6-7 yards. He was just off with his direction. So the guy's got a leg. He's going to be special. So special teams-wise, tackling, going down and covering kicks, one of the best in the league. Returning, Tavon Austin, one of the better punt returners. They've had a few kick returns that almost went the distance. So they're there. Hey, guys, I'm sorry. I got to get back on the air. Can we pick this up in a minute?
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, no, go ahead, man. Go ahead. Okay. DeMarco Farr still moves. Good for big guy. He's gone. I'm not personally going to wait for him to call back. Maybe you want to, Ryan?
No, you know, I'm up here in Seattle in a little office here. And that was – okay, I've never had that. You've done podcasts. I've done podcasts. I've never had someone go, hey, wait, hold on. I got to go on the air real quick. That was a weird way to end
but
it.
I've been on the other end of it. I've been a guest in a podcast where I had to run and do some production or something like that. But I know it's never happened to me. But I had a lot of great information there. A lot of great information. It sounds like DeMarco Farr is going to continue to be the color commentary guy on the radio for the Rams, which is cool. I have known him for a long time. He and Gary Miller did a show that led right into me in Ireland back when we first started at 710 all the way back in 2003.
Yeah, I remember that.
Possible?
Yeah.
Damn. 13 years ago. But DeMarco's done really well. And of course, there are a lot of pressing issues. I guess, you know, it kind of all focuses on the quarterback position and what they wind up doing. And I wasn't taking RG3 as a serious candidate until he put it in the context of Steve McNair playing for Jeff Fisher and Vince Young playing for Steve Fisher, and a guy that's able to move the pocket a little bit, especially gives him another line of attack with Todd Gurley running hard and maybe one more offensive weapon. RG3 maybe makes sense. And plus, Heisman Trophy winner, Los Angeles, a name everybody knows. I don't think those are good reasons to make him the quarterback, but it doesn't hurt. It's a good kind of marketing move, I think, for the Rams too.
You wonder how much that's going to play into it, Steve, is how much of a marketing thing is it going to be to get a name where maybe not. But, you know, the fact that you cut a Chris Long, who would be great in the media, Laurinaitis, who you had on, great in the media. So maybe that is the right direction. But there could be some marketing aspect to some of the acquisitions and even the draft, I guess, going forward, for just because now they're in L.A.
Yeah. I think they want a name they can sell. At the same time, I mean, Les Snead, Jeff Fisher, these are smart guys. They know in the end it's not about names you can sell. What sells is wins. And so to chase a name now who doesn't work at all, like, for example, there's that Peyton Manning rumor. That's just a ridiculous idea. Manning looks just – I mean, end of that Super Bowl, you know, it was they couldn't even trust him to throw the football. I mean, maybe you could have sold that name, but you're not going to get wins from that. RG3, you know, has had a couple of good years and got squeezed out by Kirk Cousins in Washington, has had some – maybe he's a clean slate guy. You know, just wipe the slate clean, give him a fresh start, and kind of recapture what he had when he was first with the Skins. I think that sounds like a real possibility. Now, I didn't take it all that seriously until DeMarco described it there.
Yeah, no, it's I loved what he had to say. Obviously very knowledgeable of the team, been covering for 7 years, and just thinking that, you know, quarterback and maybe a bigger play receiver away from this team turning, you know, into a playoff team, even though it's a tough division and everything, there's a lot of optimism there. And I love the fact that there's going to be continuity, because a lot of us in the media here in L.A., aren't going to be as familiar with the Rams. So you have someone like him kind of coming over and continuing being the color commentator on the radio. I think it'd be great. Just someone that knows the history of the Rams. A lot of LA people are just going to be jumping on the bandwagon right away. Like, hey, I don't know anything about the Rams. Let's kind of figure it out. So having his knowledge come with him, with the Rams, I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, me too. Me too. All right. Well, that's pretty good. I thought that was a good Ramble On podcast.
Yeah. Hey, one quick thing for you, Steve. So I flew up here to Seattle this morning, and I was in LAX. I tweeted this out from our Twitter. You can follow Steve at Venice Mace. You can follow me at Inside Troy. The Rams for Scout that we do the show, it's a LA_Rams Report. You can follow that. But I tweeted out from there in LAX this morning. I look over there, and I see this huge display in one of the stores. All Los Angeles Rams gear. So it's already in LAX, all that stuff. And the colors are all the dark, you know, the current colors, the dark colors. And we've had so many people on Twitter talk about those aren't the LA Rams colors. I haven't heard anything. Like, what do you think about the colors? Are they going to go back to what the lighter color that the LA Rams had? Everything I'm seeing right now is still the darker colors they currently have.
I still see the dark gold and the sort of, I don't know what you call that, the dark gold and dark blue, as opposed to the bright gold and the bright blue, which is what I remember the Rams as. I don't know if there's been an official decision made. I, I mean, I see – now, I got a Todd Gurley jersey because I am the guy that buys a Todd Gurley jersey. And it is the bright colors.
Okay.
So you can still – the bright colors, but I don't know if I'm dealing with a throwback or a new one. I really don't know. There's one way. If we went to LARams.com, what would we see?
I think it's the dark. I think it's
the
darker.
Still, are the colors still the dark colors?
Yeah. I mean, but a lot of people complain to us on Twitter, like, that's not the right colors. I'm like, well, I believe that's still what the official Rams colors are, even though some of the LA Rams fans don't agree with that. I'm curious to see what's going to change, and if it's going to change at all. But there's definitely a lot of the fans that want to see the older colors.
You know, on the official Los Angeles Rams website, and you'd have to believe this is the way they're going, it is the darker blue and the darker gold.
I think they used the older colors as kind of a throwback, but a lot of the people want that throwback to be the main. And, it very well could be. I think they're willing to listen to what the fans say. But at least for what I'm seeing on Twitter, I think you've probably seen the same. People just, like, yell at you when if you put up a logo and it's the dark colors instead of the lighter ones.
Yeah, I would have to trust the website and say it looks – this is their forward-facing marketing point, and it is the darker blue and the darker gold, which I think will disappoint some people if that's the way they go. In the 70s when I was a Rams fan, it was always that bright blue and that bright gold. And I love those. I also love the white. The white is so great. But the cool. The bright blue and the bright gold, that would be my vote. But the website so far, it looks like the dark blue and the dark gold. I'll send an email to the Rams marketing people and see if there's been a final decision made.
See if there's any change. There's so much that has to be changed, too. There's so much going on.
You can't even believe. I mean, if you deal with the Rams right now, like half of the people are in L.A. Half of the people are still back in St. Louis. I think they're packing boxes. A lot of people with the Rams in St. Louis have to decide if they want to move to L.A. or if they want to stay in St. Louis and just not work for the team anymore. I mean, there are all kinds of decisions that they're making, and all this stuff is happening on the fly. Like, we know that there's a negotiation right now. I don't know if it's done yet, but that Oxnard will be where they have the OTAs. They got to figure out where the training practice fields are going to be. They got to decide where the temporary headquarters are going to be, all this in advance of the stadium in 2019. So there are so many moving pieces here. Somebody's selling tickets. Somebody's coming up with a marketing campaign. I'm sure billboards are being designed. All this stuff is going on right now. And it's all being done pretty much on the fly. So this first year, it's going to come together. It may be a bit of a beautiful disaster, but it's going to come together, and we're going to have football in the fall. But it's crazy this move and trying to get everything set up at this end of the here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the things I wanted to ask DeMarco about, because he was part of the original move. And when you hear like Howie Long talk about when the Raiders moved and they were still, they were still packed. Everyone was still in Oakland, but the home games were in L.A. It's just like how crazy that is. And it's aggressive that the Rams are trying to do it all at once. They're not going to stay partially in St. Louis and just be – they're moving to L.A., but you need offices and training, all that kind of stuff. And it just – so everything's so much up in the air. I think they will address the uniform stuff soon. I mean, as of now, it's still the newer colors, you could say, the darker colors, but – we'll see. Maybe it'll change, but a lot of the fans really want to see those old colors.
Yep. Well, we'll find out.
All
right. So, thanks to DeMarco Farr. I thought great information, great insight into what's going on right now. He knows the team really, really well. And I still want to get Jack Youngblood on the show.
Yes, we'll work on that.
You're supposed to work on that.
I know. I was texting with him for a while. I don't even know the guy. We're texting back and forth. You're like, you're texting with some Hall of Famer, but he was down. He was like, he was down for it. But he's on the East Coast, so we'll just have to kind of arrange the times. But we'll work on that, and hopefully he'll be on our on the show next week.
All right, cool. That sounds great.
Sweet. All right, Steve Mason. I'm Ryan Abraham. You can go our to get the podcast. We're on iTunes now. RamsRambleOn.com will take you to our Audio Boom page, and you can subscribe iTunes there. Just search for Ramble On Podcast on iTunes. We love to get some feedback on iTunes. People are sending some positive stuff already, Steve, which is cool.
Well, good.
A lot of people download.
What about the people who are going to, like, email in questions or leave voice questions and all that stuff that you do on the Trojans?
We're on the Parastel podcast. We're going to do that too. We haven't really talked about that yet, so we'll have to set up a number and everything for people to call in. So if you guys have questions on, you know, we'll be able to do all that. So looking forward to that. We'll try to get some good guests for you coming up next week. Hope you guys enjoyed the Ramble On podcast.